בבוא שני שתלית תזדרבו פדלו איתו בא ונשלו סולות כסני הכוחני מויה רוסקוויטלו הכוחני מויה, הכוחני מויה הכוחני מויה רוסקוויטלו כוחני, דיבלס на небо сині далі срібні зори плав
Kvitka Sisek opening our program today with Kochania, and a very apropos title. In English, it's called Autumn Love. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host, and I am delighted to have you with me here on our last program on a Sunday at 5 p.m. next weekend. We will be on the air at 6 p.m. Saturdays from now on. Meanwhile, I'm glad you're with me today at this time and listening to our broadcast or stream. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got a recipe with Natalia Buchok, and she's got some weird soups. And this is, we're getting into soup season, I think. So that will be useful if you're into making weird soups as well. We'll have part two of our interview with Katerina Yushchenko, the wife of the third president of Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, as well a book review with Myra Junik, and this is an encore presentation, and I'll be sharing some of these reviews with you as ideas for Christmas gift giving, because it is that time of year again. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, we'll keep up the pace, so keep those dancing boots strapped on and laced up. We've got Darkon Slavko next, and Na tramvajni zupinci at the trolley stop.
Я хлопець несміливий, дівчат я сторонюсь, і навіть розмовляти з ними я боюсь. Такий характер в мене, нещастя немале, мовчу, бо всі говорять, але
на трамвайні зупинці
я зустрів дівчат чудове.
Почалася розмова
за словечком слова,
і про все ми забули.
Чого ж то все ми з нею стоїмо і чекаємо?
Не знала, що кохання, мов буря весняна, так рапом і неждано прийде одного дня. Пора вже розставатись, мов вже додому час, пробачте, як вас звати, а вас
на трамвайній зупинці я зустрів дівча чудове. Почалася розмова за словечком слова, і про все ми забули, іде трамвай за трамваєм. Та чого ж то все ми з нею стоїмо і чекаєм?
Не замовка.
Хотів я від любови тікати, поки час, даю вам чесне слово, аж тут якраз
на трамвайній зупинці я зустрів дівча чудове. Почалася розмова за словечком слова, і про все ми забули, іде трамвай за трамваєм. Та чого ж то все
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
Цю голова болить, пішла вже я похмеліла, хміли не велить.
Ой, голубо, папа, каже, горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, голубо, папа, каже, горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака.
Поїхав мій милий, йодалий. фестив, а я дую куделицом земельку хлеб.
Of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's heart.ca.
And that's another group that I found online on YouTube. They are from Ukraine. They're called Rozhenitsya. And I was having trouble translating that, the title of the song. So I looked in every dictionary I had and tried to make sense of the lyrics, and I just couldn't get it. So I thought I'd go straight to the source. Well, not quite to the source, as I wasn't able to contact the musicians themselves, but our good friend Viktor Sergeyev in Ukraine very kindly translated it. He loves to do that, and that's why we've got Viktor's vignettes from time to time on our show. And he loves to translate into English, so he helped me out with that. And he did tell me it was a silly song, a joke, and which I got on my own, but he did confirm that. And so he translated the title, which the title is Oi Priala Bya Kud Yalitsu, and that translates as I'd knit a yarn, but I have a headache. And the reason for that headache was due to a little bit too much partying, a little too much imbibing. But nonetheless, it is a very jolly tune. And how many songs do we know that have silly lyrics? So just another one of those enjoyable moments in Ukrainian tradition. Again, that was Rozhenitsya with Oi Priala Bya Kud Yalitsu. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Natalia Buchok and a taste of Galician cuisine from 1929.
Vitaimo, welcome to Ukrainian Food Flair on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Today, I'll be introducing some truly unusual soups. If chicken soup is for the soul, or a cold, then these soups are for those long, hard days for which there is no other remedy but chocolate and wine. That's right. One of today's recipes is a recipe for chocolate soup. And as this will be my last episode for a while, this will be something sweet for you to remember me by. I'll be taking a hiatus from the show, it being the time for hibernation and work project completion. Olha's recipe for chocolate soup is as follows. In a medium saucepan, over medium heat, stir together 2 liters of whole milk with 250 grams of chocolate. It's important to use quality chocolate. You can add additional flavor by scraping the seeds out of a vanilla bean into the milk and chocolate mixture. To prevent the milk from scalding, you might choose to use a double boiler. It's important to stir constantly, as this helps to evenly distribute the heat and to keep the mixture from boiling, an important aspect of the following step. Put the milk aside and turn down the heat. In the meantime, beat 5 egg yolks with 5 tablespoons of sugar until thick and lemon-colored. Gradually add the hot chocolatey milk to the egg mixture, whisking briskly on low heat until the mixture thickens. Pour the soup into bowls and place on ice. Garnish with biscotti and berries. Well, and if chocolate isn't enough to make a bad day better, how about wine soup? Bring to a boil 1 liter of white wine. Beat 5 egg yolks with 5 tablespoons of sugar until thick and creamy. Slowly pour the beaten yolks into the boiling wine, stirring constantly. I have a feeling it will be a challenge to keep the yolks from curdling. However, tips to keep eggs from curdling include frequent stirring and not rushing the process. Also, a lower heat is generally better. When a foam forms on your wine soup, it's ready to serve. Olha recommends serving such a sweet soup in cups. Garnish with biscotti. And one final recipe for the fall, maybe something you can make for Super Bowl Sunday, beer soup. Mix together 1 liter of beer and 1 cup of water. Add a piece of cinnamon stick and bring to a boil. In a separate pot, beat a cup of cream with 2 egg yolks and 2 tablespoons of sugar. Gradually pour the hot beer into the cream mixture, stirring constantly. Mix well, then remove from the heat. Add dry cottage cheese that you've cut into cubes. You can choose to make this soup without cream by substituting with more egg yolks. When done, sit back, crack open a cold one, and promise me you won't medicate your mood with food, but do enjoy expanding your culinary horizons. This is Natalia Buchok with Food Flair on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, leaving you with one final question. Chicken soup for the soul? Or chocolate soup? Or wine soup? Or beer? There's an option for every taste.
Thanks, Natalia. Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Pidraziuk-Molnar here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
музику дуже люблю, на музику піду. Як музика та й заграє, забуду я біду. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Як я тую музиченьку, зачую, зачую. Болить мене голованька, вдома не ночую. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна. Ой, тай Дунай, Дунай, Дуна, ой, тай Дунай, Дайна.
Hi from Winnipeg, and that song comes to us courtesy a 3-CD compilation put out by the Shevchenko Foundation in honor of their 50th anniversary. And this CD is not for sale, but it is available to donors who make contributions to the Shevchenko Foundation, which supports the Ukrainian-Canadian community in its goals to preserve, promote, and celebrate Ukrainian culture among the Ukrainian community as well as the rest of Canada. And the Shevchenko Foundation has been doing this for over 50 years. And we've come a long way since Ukrainian settlers first arrived on Canadian shores. And we've all grown as a community and as a country. And we'll be sharing a book review with you about a very sad chapter in Canadian history, the internment of Ukrainians during World War I. And very sadly, recent events in Ottawa and Quebec have very dark and troubling overtones to that era. We would hope that we've learned in a century not to vilify people and not to jump to conclusions and not to turn on each other. Granted, things are different now than they were 100 years ago when Ukrainians came to Canada. They were getting away from violence. They were not trying to import it here to Canada. And still, Canada did not recognize that and treated Ukrainians very harshly 100 years ago. I would hope that a century later, what we've learned from that is to hold individuals accountable for their actions rather than continuing that them versus us narrative. So in honor of the two Canadian soldiers whose lives were lost here on Canadian soil, and in the hope that the War Measures Act will never again be enacted here in Canada and used against an identifiable ethnic group, here is Canada's national anthem. Welcome to Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In her novel Blood and Salt, Barbara Sapergia explores the internment of Ukrainian Canadians during the First World War. Taras Kalina, a 20-year-old Ukrainian Canadian immigrant in rural Saskatchewan, is torn from his family and friends and sent to the Banff Castle Mountain internment camp in Alberta. Along with over 8,000 prisoners, mostly Ukrainian, Taras must survive the extreme physical hardship and the cruel conditions of the primitive internment camp. Taras and his family came to Canada from a small village in Bukovina. Despite poverty, servitude to the local khan, and the threat of military service for the Austrian rulers, the villagers find strength in family and community. Taras and his family decide to leave for a new life in Canada in order to search for his beloved Hala. Her father, Victor, moved her to Saskatchewan in order to get her away from Taras. In Canada, Taras finds work as a bricklayer and starts to look for Hala while his parents work hard on their new farm. Coincidentally, his employer is in love with Hala, who works for the employer's mother. When the employer finds out Taras is Hala's secret love, he reports Taras to the authority. Taras is arrested and sent to a detention camp in Alberta. His only crime is being born in a country ruled by the Austrian king. Ironically, one of the reasons Taras left his village was to get away from serving in the Austrian military. Eventually, he is interned in the Castle Mountain labor camp in Banff National Park, from 1915 to 1917. The despair of the prisoners is palpable. Months, maybe years, are being stolen from them. In order to survive the brutal cold, starvation, and repetitive days of internment, Taras befriends his fellow prisoners, Yuri the farmer, Timko the socialist, Miroslav the schoolteacher, and Bogdan the carver. The group tells stories of their homeland and immigration to Canada on the long, cold nights. Taras tells his friends about his love for Hala and his journey to Canada. Miroslav tells stories about Taras Shevchenko, Ukraine's great poet and patriot. After his release from the camp, Taras must once again make a life for himself. His ordeal has made him a stronger and more independent man. He takes ownership of his life choices as he searches for Hala and becomes a leader in the labor movement. Sapergia's novel is beautifully written in evocative language with sharply focused descriptions of the Canadian environment. The wilderness which surrounds the Castle Mountain internment camp comes alive. Although this novel's focus is the internment of Ukrainian Canadians during World War I, It is also the epic tale of Ukrainian immigration to Canada during the first decade of the 20th century. The use of Ukrainian words and frequent references to Ukrainian culture bring the reality of Ukrainian life in Canada to life. The graphic elements of this novel are also intriguing. The novel's cover photo shows a group of poorly dressed men trying to get warm on a very cold day in the forest. This is an actual photograph, which is housed in the archives of the White Museum of the Canadian Rockies. The strips of white dividing the photograph help readers to understand the individual isolation and dehumanizing influence of imprisonment, which must have haunted the prisoners in this Canadian gulag. Although the novel's plot moves toward its ultimate conclusion with dignity and hope, the lengthy passages about Taras Shevchenko and the quest for Ukrainian cultural and political independence can at times be distracting for the reader. Also, Sapergia lapses into lengthy philosophical passages about racism and cultural heritage. Born and raised in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Barbara Sapergia is a fiction writer, dramatist, and editor. Her previous books have included Dry, Secrets in Water, and South Hill Girl. She has had 9 professional play productions and is the co-creator of the children's television series, Prairie Berry Pie. Blood and Salt has been nominated for the Cobsart Literary Award, which will be presented in Toronto on March the 5th, 2014. Blood and Salt is published by Coteau Books and is available at Chapters and Amazon in both print and ebook versions.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
We are brothers for eternity.
Freedom is
Shy from Toronto, Ontario, and their most recent release, their rendition of the Ron Cahoo classic, Fly Cossack Fly. And if you've been following Juna, you'll know that they are releasing a new album. It is called an EP these days, not an LP, and they are releasing it one track at a time and sharing it with their followers on Facebook. If you'd like to hear a little bit more, if you're not following them, or if you just would like to hear from one of the members of Dunai, then check out the podcast for the Nanaimo edition of Nosh Holos. We've been getting Alex Fishak on live and getting a little bit of a behind-the-scenes update on what they're up to. So if you're interested, do check that out. Coming up next is another original Canadian composition, and we're bringing it a little bit further west, although the composer is now residing on the Rock on the other coast of Canada in Newfoundland. Here's Brian Cherwick and the Cubasonics now with a song all about those interesting giants on the prairies.
In Vegreville, Alberta, there's a giant peasant cup. It's the biggest Easter egg that anybody ever saw. The question folks up there won't answer even if you beg. Where the heck's the chicken that laid that giant egg? Giants of the prairies rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies designed to catch your eye. They may not be the sort of thing you fancy or you dig, but one look at it and you'll admit that thing is really big. In Camarno, Manitoba, they built a big kumar. It's a really big mosquito, you could see it from afar. Now you may find it strange, a little weird, a bit absurd, till you realize
a mosquito is Manitoba's provincial bird.
In Saskatchewan's Kenora, there's a lady mighty fine. Holding bread and salt, a Ukrainian welcome sign. They thought that giant lady would bring their town some class, fill some tourist parkas, Winnebago underneath her skirt. Giants of the prairies rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, you just can't pass them by. You could hear the lonely trucker calling from his rig saying,
"Take a look, that thing is really big."
They pay homage to our food. They don't call it a varanic, but some people think they should. Now I really must admit, I felt a little like a dork when they took my picture under a big pierogi on a fork. Pierogi. Oh, Glendon's pierogi. In the town of Vilna, they've got some giant shrooms. And if you dried them, they'd fill many, many rooms. Now, if you want my opinion, I think you'd need a tanker to truck in enough cream to make a sauce for those Pipankin. Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, now as the years roll by, in the future, archaeologists working on a dig might shout,
"Eureka, look at what we found, this thing is really big."
In the town of Andrew, they've got a giant duck. They had to rent a crane to lift that mallard off the truck. Now it hasn't generated the reaction they were hoping. The tourists mostly stop and yell,
"Nice and bad gotcha, quap, man!"
Giants of the prairies rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, oh me, oh me, oh my. Now I know folks who just don't care a feather or a fig, but even they have got to say,
"That thing is really big."
Now in Mundare, Alberta, there's a new totemic sign. For Ukrainian sausage lovers, it's like a sacred shrine. We bow down low before it. We gaze at it in awe. It's a 14-meter fiberglass and steel Kubasa! Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, you've gotta wonder why. You think
By now the audience we're playing for at this gig would all catch on and sing along.
That thing is really big.
You'd think by now the audience we're playing to at this gig would all catch on and sing along.
That thing is really big.
Giants of the prairies rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, let's raise a glass of rye and congratulate the audience we're playing for at this gig, cause they all caught on and sang along.
That thing is really big.
Giants of the prairies, shining in the sun. Giants of the prairies, I've gotta build me one. A mosquito or a mushroom, a pierogi or an egg. It's a way to leave my mark, just like a dog lifting his leg.
Giants of the prairies.
Last week, we brought you the first part of an interview with Katerina Yushchenko, Ukraine's former First Lady, and we continue our discussion now. We were talking about the foundation that her husband, Viktor Yushchenko, founded back in 2000 and the work that they are continuing to do. You spoke in the past tense of many of these accomplishments of the foundation. Is that because you were doing that just when your husband was in office, or what's going on now?
We continue many of our programs. Obviously, fundraising is not as easy mm-hmm. when your husband's not as prominent, and especially among Ukrainian business people. Mm. But we continue to do many of our projects, but with less funding, we've had to let, unfortunately, a lot of people go, and that's been sad. But some of those people have gone to very nice, important places, so we're pleased about that. We still have our hospital project. We still have Dobro Pochinaitse z Tebe, Good Begins With You project. We still have our McDonald's partnership. So we have many. We're still looking for other opportunities to do other projects. But maybe I use the past tense because right now our focus in our foundation, as I have to say, the focus of our society is very much turned toward the war that's taking place in our country today. And suddenly our needs have to be very, very concentrated on helping our soldiers, helping our volunteers, and, you know, providing equipment. Right before I left, I personally made a donation to buy, believe it or not, thermal underwear for our boys, because I heard that some of them were getting kidney infections because they were laying on the ground and it's getting cold in Ukraine in October. And so our foundation has been doing a great deal with this. We are hoping to bring doctors abroad to Ukraine to help our doctors learn how to better treat war wounds, which we fortunately had not had that much experience in, but now unfortunately do. We are going to be asking here, that, and one of the reasons I'm traveling here is to ask for some support in providing training in what do you call it, post-war syndrome, the psychological issues that our soldiers, our volunteers will be facing because of the horrible cruelties that they will have seen in the war, and that's become a major problem for them, and the post-traumatic syndrome. And we want to provide the kinds of medicines and other equipment. Plus, you know, we do what we can to encourage the world to understand better what is happening in Ukraine, to understand better that it's some what is happening in Ukraine is not a regional issue, but affects the global world order, and that it's very important that Europe and the United States and Canada realize this and support our army, support our country, support our economy, which is faltering in this very, very difficult time.
How can people outside of Ukraine help? There's all kinds of stuff out there on the internet, and people are making or starting up projects to collecting donations and sending them over to Ukraine. But there are always worries that money is not going to get where it's supposed to go. Do you have any suggestions on how to make sure an organization is bona fide and delivers the money where it's promised to go, especially right now to the soldiers?
Exactly. It's very important to find the right partners. You know, we even have that issue in Ukraine. When I donate, I make sure that I work with partners who I know will put it on a truck tomorrow and will deliver it right to the front. And we're in contact with, and the organizations we work with are in contact with the boys who tell us directly what they need at this time, so that we don't send them a lot of things that they may not need, even out of great generosity. And so the important thing is to find the correct partners. And I think a lot of Ukrainian organizations in the West have done that. And, for example, I know my friends in Chicago have been donating through the Ukrainian Orthodox Church Kyiv Patriarchate. There, I am confident that it is getting to where it should be. I work with... And I have personally donated to the Ukrainian Freedom Fund, which has raised quite a bit of money and has a large network of Ukrainian volunteers, foreign people living in Ukraine, volunteers who have donated the stuff as well. My foundation is also working with several other organizations, and we've been delivering directly to the front. Sometimes we just find individuals who are going whom we trust. For example, my son's doctor told me he's leaving the next day and delivering a truckload of goods. So I donated what I could. A friend of ours who's a priest goes every week to hold services with the soldiers. And so when he travels, we give him a great deal of assistance. So, you know, it's finding the right people. But I think there's also a very important role for the diaspora beyond the donations, which are important. But it's also important that they organize and work very, very much to counteract the propaganda machine that Russia has created about what is happening in Ukraine, which actually does influence people in the media and people in politics, because they're trying to sort of put a question mark on what's happening there, saying, well, maybe it's not an invasion, maybe it's an internal struggle. Maybe it's not just the Russians who are doing it, maybe the Ukrainian government is somehow involved. Maybe Crimea was never really Ukraine in the first place. You know, it's very important that Ukrainians abroad get very well organized, get certain messages across, so that those things do not pass by, that they're not accepted as a possible reality. You know, just there are certain things that are just truth, and it's important that the truth gets out.
Do you have any suggestions for specifically how the diaspora could do that?
Well, first and foremost, I would have to say, first, just everybody get involved and don't sit around thinking that this is just another one of Ukraine's problems, and Ukraine always has its problems. This is specifically, right now we are fighting for our very existence. And I think Putin and he's not alone. He has an entire system there, is very intent on gaining not only Ukraine, but going further. And he will push as far as he is allowed to push, just like Hitler did in 1938. He probed and then he pounced, and he will only pounce as far as he is allowed. But when it comes to the actual PR, I strongly believe in professionalism. And I think the community needs to get professionals involved, helping them target their message to the right messages to the right people. And that's something, unfortunately, I don't think the Ukrainians have ever done well enough to make sure that every talk show, every newspaper, every congressman understands what our message is. And so I believe that it really requires hiring very good professionals to help them get their message across. It requires them, the professionals and the Ukrainians, to find a team of people who could be put forward for radio, for television, for media, really organizing good trips to the various parliaments of the world. We need to really work at a very high level.
So PR skills, more so even than media skills. It's not just perfecting the 30-second soundbite and so forth in front of the camera, but actually getting the messages out to the people who are running the media organizations and are themselves stepping in front of the cameras and microphones.
Well, Russia's very good at doing that because they've hired a PR firm. They have Russia Today. They put a lot of money into their efforts. They pay, they create so-called NGOs who spread very, very negative messages about Ukraine and who are occasionally taken seriously by Western media or by Western politicians. They pay Western politicians to support their point of view. And so it's very important that Ukrainians abroad and Ukrainians in our embassies really step up and try to meet the challenge that we're facing.
Thank you very much for all your insight, and I hope to be able to bring you back on the show again to talk at some point in the future.
Thank you. That would be a pleasure, Paulette.
It was an honor and a privilege and an absolute delight to speak with Katerina Yushchenko. She is a warm and wonderful woman and very big-hearted and still continuing to do much good work for Ukraine. During our conversation, which was not recorded, she told me I must come and visit Kyiv sometime soon. And as is often the case in polite conversation, I say definitely we'll be there soon. But little did I realize quite how soon that would actually be. A week from today, I will be in Kyiv, and I'll tell you all about it when I get back. Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. If you're organizing a Ukrainian cultural event, we'll be happy to announce it here free of charge. As well, please send in your suggestions, special requests, and dedications. Your comments are always welcome. Email producer@noshholos.com or fill out the form on the events page at the Nosh Holos website. You can also call us at 604-227-0942 or record and leave your own audio announcement at our website, noshholos.com. On Wednesdays, catch Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. This coming Friday, enjoy a pierogi supper at St. Mary's Ukrainian Orthodox Center, 13512 108th Avenue in Surrey, from 4:30 till 7:30 p.m. For more information, call 604-531-1923 or 604-581-0313, or visit their website, www.uocstmarysurrey.com. On Saturday, November 1st, the Ukrainian Canadian Congress Vancouver branch invites you to an afternoon of films by the Babylon 13 team of video journalists. All films have English soundtracks or subtitles. Video journalists Andriy and Pilip Rozhin will be available to answer questions or give interviews. The feature film will be The November Uprising, commemorating the historic anniversary of Ukraine's bid for independence in 1918. The film is called The November Uprising. It takes place at the Ivan Franko Ukrainian Community Center, 5311 Francis Road in Richmond. That's Saturday, November 1st at 3 p.m. Admission is $10. Starting November 1st, 2014, Nosh Holos moves to its new time slot, 6 p.m. Saturdays, here at AM 1320 CHMB and streaming online at am1320.com. If you would like to extend Christmas greetings on Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver and or Nanaimo during the Christmas season and have not received your notice, please email producer@noshholos.com or call 604-227-0942. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму «Вже часто дома» і сказати «До побачення». Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Шкода таку голову навчати, у якій нічого не хочеться держати. And our proverb of the week translates as «It is useless to pour knowledge into a head that will not hold anything». Harsh. Well, with that, we bring our program to an end here on Nash Holos. Just a reminder to join us next Saturday at 6 p.m. in our new time slot here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. So to take us home, we've got Jason Chernoboy from Beausejour and the Tattoo Polka. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening and Dobranich!